Yeah, I've been doing a little SiriusXM radio for MLB Network, and it's been a lot of fun. I mean, I get to work with some real good guys, including Mike Farron down here, who I'm working with today. And, you know, it's great to be able to kind of go to different camps. And this, for me, is my second year doing spring training sites and kind of talking to the guys. It gets you so familiar with the teams, and it kind of gets you invested in the teams as well. So I love doing it, and kind of for the rest of the year, you're really paying attention and watching some of these guys.
A lot of people don't know you were a Sacramento kid originally.
Originally, yes. Yeah, it was a short stint in Sacramento, if I can phrase it that way, about 2 years before I moved to Inglewood, Colorado. So, you know, kind of raised in Colorado. But, yes, my parents did spend some time out in Sacramento. And, yeah, the last time I went back, though, unfortunately I haven't been back for a while, was when I was playing in AAA in the Pacific Coast League. So it is, you know, from what I hear, though, a pretty fun place to be.
Brad Lidge with us. Again, looking at your major league career, of course, you come out of Notre Dame, you know, a great college career. Let's touch on that just a little bit. Plus, what's it like going to Notre Dame?
Well, you know, I mean, honestly, Mark, it's pretty dang fun. You know, and it's one of those schools that I grew up with some other relatives, not immediate relatives, but some more distant relatives that have gone there. Listen, my parents, Irish Catholic, it was like a dream come true when they were recruiting me. So I really didn't have a whole lot to say in the matter, it feels like, when I was in high school. And then Notre Dame came knocking on the door. But, I mean, honestly, for me, it was such a great mix of, you know, academics and athletics that I really wanted to go there myself. It is a, you know, it's a school that has some money, clearly, and they're able to put that into the facilities there. The last decade or so, they have built up that baseball program like crazy. When I was there, we played in the Big East Conference, which was not fun. It was super cold. Every single time we played a conference game, I remember, if there wasn't snow on the ground, if it wasn't snowing, we were playing. I do remember pitching in some negative degree temperature games where that wasn't a whole lot of fun. But you know what? Notre Dame's in the ACC now, which is perfect baseball weather, and it's been a little bit of an adjustment for them because, obviously, the teams in the ACC, the caliber is clearly, you know, a little bit of a different jump from the Big East. But I loved my time there. I got to play with some great guys. And I think the biggest thing for me, my head coach was Paul Maneri, now the head coach at Louisiana State, LSU, who continues to do great every year. And my pitching coach was Brian O'Connor, now the head coach at Virginia, who you find in the College World Series about every single year. So if I didn't come out of there a little bit better, then it was all my fault, not theirs.
Boy, the Maneri family out of Miami-Dade North. Originally, when I lived in Miami, they started the program at Dade North.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, they have a long history of baseball in their family and their bloodline. And man, I can tell you that Paul knew the game extremely well. You know, listen, they're people that genuinely care, and they kind of, you know, they kind of pull you in. You feel like you're part of their family, like wherever you're at. So Maneri family is just a fantastic family. Paul and his kids have been great and close to me for a while.
All right, Brad Lidge with us. All right, you get to the big leagues, and boy, as I say, the strikeout records, you know, you're in the company of Dick Raddatz and people like that. That's the one I always look at. That's one that's going to stand for a while.
Well, I think it might. And I think, you know, the biggest reason, you look at 2004 season, for me, it was the year I became a closer. But I was still kind of a multiple-inning guy at that time. And by the end of the season, I had thrown a lot of games and a lot of innings. And I think, you know, when you add in the postseason, somewhere around 90 games, we were talking about 100-something innings. And, you know, it was there were a lot of strikeouts at that time. Guys hadn't seen my slider, you know, that much. It was only my second full season in the major leagues. And, you know, fortunately, my arm felt awesome. I mean, you know, every time, you know, I was asked to take the ball, I always felt like I wanted to. I do remember having some veterans in the bullpen saying, hey, listen, if you need a day, take it, because you're throwing at a pretty high clip here. But I felt great in 2004, and I felt great every single day, so I always wanted to get out there. And, you know, by the end of the season, the strikeouts, the innings, the games, everything just kept accumulating. I felt better and better, and the Astros, we finally got to the postseason and actually won a series for the first time ever, which was awesome to see for Biggio and Bagwell.
Well, it was, you know, and your part in it, of course, you get the big home run that everyone will always remember, the Pujols home run, which was crushed.
In 2005. Yeah. 2005, right.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's amazing to watch you on the mound. I mean, that slider was just devastating.
Well, I appreciate it. I had a pitching coach in the minor leagues in Houston. Dewey Robinson was his name, and he was a former major league pitcher for the White Sox. He said a lot of things to me that made a lot of sense over the years, but one is that he showed me the grip on my slider, and he said, just let it rip. Don't worry about the movement. go ahead and throw it. With your arm action, don't baby that pitch. And so I always kind of had it in my mind to throw the thing hard, and for some reason it just felt right with my mechanics. I had some injuries in the minor leagues, quite a few actually, and I was able to throw that, and it felt much better on my arm than a curveball ever did. So, yeah, I was able to, get through, fortunately, some pretty tough hitters, 2004 and 5 in both those postseasons, and then, obviously get back with the Phillies in 2008 and, just keep throwing that slider. But it is a pitch that evolved for me over the years from one that I would throw as hard as I could to finally one that I had a little bit more feel for. And by the end of my career, Marty, was just kind of backdoor sliders and different arm angles on it a little bit, different finger pressures on it. So I think I ended up throwing so many that eventually I just kind of learned, hey, I can use this as two different pitches if I want.
Wow, great to have you on the show. Nice talking ball with you. Over 250 saves in a career. Wow, something special. All right, let's talk a little baseball here.
Yes.
The way the bullpens look today and the way the closers go around today and just the way you see the game evolving from the pitching standpoint, they let starters go through twice and all of a sudden they yank them out of there and then the bullpen parade starts. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it's, you're right. It's crazy how the game has evolved. I think the biggest thing for me in my mind is that I was very happy to see this offseason the relievers were the guys that ended up signing before anyone else and getting paid a big chunk. And I just think that front offices are understanding exactly what you just said. Starting pitchers two times through and then pull them out of the game. Well, then who's going to cover all those other innings? Someone's got to get paid to cover those innings. And I think that's what we're seeing now is these very effective setup guys getting paid big contracts. It's been a long time coming for that kind of relief pitcher, that kind of setup guy in those innings. So I'm happy to see them get paid what they deserve finally. But, it is a definite evolution of the game where the bullpen is being asked to do more and more. We're seeing several teams that are going to break camp this year with eight guys in the bullpen. You never thought that would be possible, which means that position players have to be a little more flexible and play different roles because you don't necessarily have the ability to have a backup infielder, a backup outfielder, a backup, you got to have guys that can do multiple things because you have to spend, you got to use roster spots for those extra bullpen places.
Yeah, boy, nice to have you on. Good. You do a great job on Sirius with Mike, and it's a great show. Being down here and seeing teams in Florida here, what's your reaction to the super teams and the teams that aren't going anywhere?
Well, I mean, that's the kind of mentality we're in right now. You're absolutely right. It's one of those deals where you're either loading up and especially in the bullpen and getting ready to make that playoff push, or you're a team that's rebuilding. And there's really not a whole lot of in between anymore. So the players union filed a grievance. They're not super thrilled with some of these teams that aren't spending a whole lot of money. But I think the one thing that can be said is that, fans don't want to be in between. They want to be either knowing that they're rebuilding or knowing that they're loading up, making a run for the postseason. So no man's land is not a great place to be right now. And that's why I think you're seeing a bigger, disparity between those teams really loading up and those teams really getting rid of everybody.
Any clubs in Arizona jump out at you?
Well, I think, for sure, the Giants are going to be very, very interesting to watch this year. I mean, I think you're looking at a team that obviously is clearly better than they were last year, but there could be a very large range of games that they may win this year. And I think it really just depends on, of course, the health of their rotation, a little bit more veteran teams. You got to make sure those guys are rested. But, look, we've had a chance to cover quite a few teams in the 5 days I've been here, five teams, each one for each day.
Yeah.
I think that there's a certain team. Listen, across the bay in Oakland, they're going to surprise some people. I think they're going to have a much better year than people realize. They don't get talked about at all because the other teams in the American League West have such big-time players and obviously have made some big-time signings. But I think you look at the AL West, I think the A's are in a position to be kind of an underrated, sneaky team this year.
How do you like the Angels with Ohtani and what they've done?
Well, they're for sure going to be better. I mean, listen, they're getting a lot of headlines and deservedly so. They landed a guy that, could potentially be able to do both things on the field. We haven't seen the likes of that in a long, long time. I'm really cheering for that. I hope Ohtani is able to do both those things. I just think it would be a really cool, different thing for the game, and I think kids would love it too. But the Angels are going to be a pretty formidable team. With them, it always comes down to health in that rotation. They've had so many talented guys that just can't get back out there. So I think, hopefully for them, that will change this year. They'll get guys like Garrett Richards out there and hopefully get him 25 to 30 starts. That would be a huge jump for him.
Yeah, it's going to be fun watching Ohtani play. Brad Lidge with us. Now, they're talking about bringing back the bullpen cart. Did you run in or did you walk in?
Yeah. Well, I did a quick jog in, I think, is maybe a slowed down toward the end of my career, more of an absolute, you know, slower jog later. But early on, for sure, a quick job. But I'll tell you what, I love the idea of the bullpen card. I think it's a lot of fun. I think people will enjoy it. Fans will enjoy it. I mean, you can definitely see some people maybe throwing some bubble gum or something at that thing as it's rolling out there. But it should be a lot of fun. I think baseball needs to do things like that, fun little things that create interest in the game for kids. Even though it might seem silly, it could just be something that's more fun. And I'll tell you right now, not a reliever in the world is going to complain about getting driven out there instead of running and kind of getting out to the mound a little out of breath.
Hey, you're doing a great job in the broadcasting career. Did you see that coming?
You know, I didn't really. When I retired in 2013, I didn't really know what direction I was going to go in. I kind of been doing a little bit of guest instructing with the Phillies as well, but the broadcasting stuff's been a lot of fun. Being on Sirius XM is kind of giving you have 3 or 4 hour windows, so it gives you a few hours to express your opinions and kind of be vocal about stuff. And I like that because I think, you know, sometimes you just skim off the surface and you don't really get to the depth of the issues. But that's why I do like, you know, we do Inside Pitch, and it's one of those deals where you get to talk more in depth about different subjects. And a lot of times, you know, whether it's Hall of Fame voting, PEDs, whatever the case, it's nice to be kind of given a platform to be able to express yourself a little bit.
Great to have you on. Good to see you. As I say, I'm glad the fans get to hear your voice. Number one, you're doing a great job in broadcasting. And two, you made your mark. You really did. In your era of relief pitching, you were one of the best. So nice to have you on.
Well, I appreciate that, Marty. It's definitely fun to be on with you.
Yeah, good. Okay, that's Brad Lidge. More coming up, KMBR 680, the sports leader.